I want to continue with the scriptures that we had. Acts chapter 10, verse 38. It's all about the anointing. How God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Ghost and power, who went about doing good and healing all that were oppressed of the devil. I may say that. For God was with him. How God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Ghost and power, who went about doing good and healing all that were oppressed of the devil. See, we need to be doing good. It's not up to the minister to pray the prayer of faith for healing for everyone. You know, in the Bible, it tells us of different gifts. Now, there's five ministerial gifts. I want you to write this down. There's five different ministries found in Ephesians chapter 4 and verse 11. He gave some apostles, some prophets, some evangelists, some pastors, and some teachers. That's five ministries. For the work of the ministry, the edifying of the body of Christ, and the perfecting of the saints, till we all come in the unity of the faith. Now that's the ministry of ministers. That's the pulpit ministry. That's the pastoral ministry. That's the evangelistic ministry. Whatever that it might be, that is the ministry. But now, does the church do anything? How about the gifts of the Spirit? How many knows that the gifts of the Spirit is the ministry to the church? Now, if you're not called to preach and got the anointing, that doesn't mean that you're left out. He gave different gifts to people. We'll just turn to that right now, and you'll see these operations in many places in the Bible. You'll see these gifts operating. So let's go to 1 Corinthians, 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 3. Wherefore I give you to understand that no man speaking by the Spirit of God calleth Jesus accursed, and that no man can say that Jesus is Lord, but by the Holy Ghost. That Holy Ghost shows us that. Verse 4, now there are diversities of gifts, but the same Spirit. Now, these gifts are for you, folks. You got to be filled with the Holy Ghost. These are gifts of the Spirit to the Holy Ghost-filled church. Now, there are diversities of gifts, but the same Spirit. Verse 5, and there are differences of administration, but the same Lord. I present that Brother Tom, God's given him a gift there. He had a vision. That was a vision you had. And you interpreted your own vision. The Lord is coming soon. The eye of the Lord is upon you. He's coming soon. I really believe that's what God was showing you. You said so yourself. And there are differences of administration, but the same Lord. And there are diversities of operations, but it is the same God which worketh in all. But the manifestation of the Spirit is given to every man to profit withal. Now, the manifestation of the Spirit is given to who? Just one or two people. What does that say, church? To every man. You may not be operating in it, but it's a gift to you if you'll pray until God puts it on you. Somebody said, well, you've got a ministry that reaches across the country and thousands upon thousands of people have been saved in your ministry and this and that and something else. But listen, I didn't get this by sitting around eating chicken dinners. When other preachers were eating chicken dinners and visiting people, I was in a motel room someplace or other praying and seeking God, getting the message. I didn't get how I remember scriptures by just sitting around and reading the newspaper. I got it by reading the Bible and quoting it to myself. You know, you might say, well, you're crazy. Do you know I preach to myself more than I do anybody else? If you get a message from God, a good minister preaches it to himself about two or three times before he ever preaches it to the people. Do you ever think of that? I preach a message two or three times to myself. And my wife will say, what are you doing? I say, I'm meditating. What I'm really doing, I meditate on the Word, and I'm preaching that message to myself. I'm getting acquainted with that message. I'm getting acquainted with that Word so I can deliver it to you where you'll understand it and under the anointing power of God so you can feel it. Let me ask you something else. If people are sitting under a ministry that's anointed and they go over somewhere else and they feel anointed while they're under that ministry, how come they don't feel it over yonder? Because they're operating under the anointing that belongs to that ministry that they're sitting under. But they can have these gifts. Everybody sees what I'm talking about. The gifts, they're given to how many? Every man. You, every person has an opportunity. God has got something for you to do, some kind of a gift for you to operate under. I remember at Willow Springs, a revival broke out and was having a great time in the Lord. And one of the men in the church got the gift of healing. And I'm telling you, that man, when he'd go pray for someone sick, he'd just come through the door and he'd just go to the bedside of that person, lay his hands upon, and immediately they were healed. He had the gift. Now, I don't know, years later he lost it. Now, I wonder why we'd lose something like that. You know, it wouldn't take me very long to lose my ministry if I just start doing what a lot of folks do. But he lost it. But it's given to every man. Now, let's go back to that again. But the manifestation of the Spirit, verse 7. How many's to it? 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 7. But the manifestation of the Spirit is given to every man to profit withal. For to one is given by the Spirit the word of wisdom, to another the word of knowledge by the same Spirit, to another faith by the same Spirit that gives it. Did you know it's the same Spirit that gives me the ministry to operate in the ministry that to preach? It's the same Spirit that gives you a gift to operate under. I'd like to see people get back to operating under the gifts. That's what they done back then. And when a revival was going, or when a big church was going, big time like we had in St. Louis, when it was going, you'd find people that go out and get whole families to come to church. There was just something about it that people could see what God had done for them, and here they'd come. We had buses running people into church because the people were bringing them to the house of God. They were getting saved, and they were going out and getting others to come in. There's no reason for empty pews here tonight. Not an ounce of reason. It should be full. For to one is given the wisdom, to another the working of miracles, verse 10, to another prophecy, to another discerning of spirits, to another diverse kind of tongues, to another interpretation of tongues. You know, I've been about 3 years here, and all the time I was here, I don't really recall, maybe three or four times, that there was a message in tongues and an interpretation. Now, why? Why? And people feeling the power of God. And some of them's telling me they're going to different churches now. They're talking to me. They're friends of mine. They're going to different churches. They say ain't nothing happening over there like we had here at Pea Ridge. Now, they're telling me that. I'm not telling them. They're telling me there's something wrong, isn't there? They felt that way here. They were praying for people getting the Holy Ghost. They were praying for people and they's getting healed. They were praying that. But now it ain't like that over yonder someplace. I'll tell you what it is. We have to have the anointing, and that anointing has to come through the minister to the congregation, and it's by the same self, same Spirit. I've seen gifts operate in your life. A gift of just a prayer. A gift to pray. And when that gift is operating, it's operating under the same Spirit. It ain't a half a dozen spirits. There's one Spirit. There's one Lord, one faith, and one Spirit. And the same Spirit, I notice these musicians, when the Spirit begins to move, they can play so much better. They're excellent. They're good. But it's just better when the Spirit gets on. When the Spirit moves, it's just better for you to pray, isn't it? And when the Spirit gets on, you get to feel like you could run through a troop. David said, I feel like I could run through a troop and jump over a wall. Well, you know he couldn't do it by himself, but if the Spirit said he could, and he might be able to do it, but it'd have to be by the Spirit of God. Zechariah 4:6, not by might or not by power, but it's by my Spirit, saith the Lord. Let's see, to another divers kind of tongue, to another interpretation of tongue. Now, this is all given to you. All you got to do is claim it and develop it, but you have to be sure that God's got the anointing on you for it, or you'll be when the worst mess it was. See, it has to be God. If God, he said, now I want you to notice, let's go back to that scripture again. Acts chapter 10, verse 38. I want you to read that real closely with me. How God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with what? With the Holy Ghost and power. Two things. The power is the fire or the power. Holy Ghost and power. Who went about doing good, and notice the same, and healing all that were oppressed of the devil. But here's the big one right here. For God was with him. If God's with us, that's the main thing. For God was with him. When God's with us, it changes everything. I like to walk with God. I like to talk with God. I like to pray to God. I like to listen to the message he gives. I like to preach. Somebody said, do you like to preach? I love to preach. My son that's got saved now used to tell me, why don't you retire? I guess he wishes I hadn't, because we can't hardly get rid of him over to us anymore. He comes over and stays 2 or 3 hours. He's hungry. God's getting ready to do some great work with him. I feel it. He feels it. And it's getting ready to happen. And I'm saying this tonight. God's getting ready to do some work around here. Devil might as well get ready for it. The church is getting ready to do something. God's getting ready to do something again. He's going to give it another chance. I feel that in my spirit. I didn't feel it till I got here and started. You know, I just came, you know, but I feel it right now. I feel like God, there's a stirring. The Spirit has to stir people. And some maybe have never seen anything like some of the services I've been in 50 years ago and better, that the services that you'd be in, that God would stir everything. And when it was stirred, I mean, people just came. They came to look. They came to see. And when they came, the Spirit got a hold of them, and they got saved. Amen. And I said, but all these, verse 11, all these worketh the one self-same Spirit, dividing to every man severally as what? Who will? As he will. You know, God will divide out you a gift and give it to you severally as you will, if you'll accept it, if you'll pray about it, if you'll get down to business with God. You want to be stirred? For as the body is one and hath many members, and all members of the body being many are one body, so also is Christ. For by one Spirit are we all baptized into one body, whether by the Jews or Gentiles, whether we are bond or free, and have been all made to drink into the same Spirit. Same Spirit. One scripture tells us that every person doesn't have the same part in the body. Paul said, if all the body were an eye, what then? That wouldn't work, would it? Be an eye? So that wouldn't work. But I want to read a few more scriptures here. Philip went down to Samaria in the book of Acts, chapter 8 and verse 5, because of persecution. They were killing him. They killed Stephen. And so Philip went down to Samaria. Then Philip went down to the city of Samaria and preached Christ unto them. And the people with one accord gave heed to those things which Philip spake, hearing and seeing the miracles which he did. And unclean spirits, crying with a loud voice, came out of many that were possessed with them. And many taken with palsies, and the lame were healed. And there was great joy in that city. I ask you tonight, is there great joy in Sullivan? If you'd have a revival like Philip had in Samaria, it brings great joy to the city, to the community. I've seen so many times we've went into a community and it looks like you couldn't have a revival there. People tell me you can't have a revival there. I went into this church after we had a great revival at Alton, Missouri. 127 people got saved. We had an old Baptist church out there in the country. Had the windows, a lot of it knocked out of it and everything. We went in there and they was cleaning it up. They said, you can use it as long as you want to. We'll never use it again. Just take it, use it. And everybody's in there cleaning it up. And somebody spoke to me that day that they're in there cleaning up. He said, you can't have church here. I said, we can't. I said, we just had a revival in Rush Harbor up the road. He said, but you can't have church in this church. I said, why? He said, there's too many old grudges hanging on the wall. He said, this church is loaded with old grudges hanging on the wall. I said, I don't see no grudges hanging on the wall. But I said, I do feel some in some of the hearts around here. But I said, we will have church here. We started that church up, and it started out just like the Brush Harbor. And people got to get saved, and there were so many people came that they were standing outside looking in the windows. They couldn't even get in the place. There was people getting saved. There's people getting delivered. There was people getting the Holy Ghost. I tell you, they forgot all about those old grudges that's hanging on the wall. One fellow that said the very same thing, one night the Holy Ghost was moving. And he hated people that ever preached on his tobacco. He chewed some kind of a plug tobacco. And I wasn't preaching on it. Power of God was moving. I wasn't even preaching. We was playing music. We have music like you have around here. Power of God was moving. And all of a sudden, the Holy Ghost got on him. This man, this is an older man. He's mean. And there's something about it. He hated people that preach on his tobacco. And I never did preach on his tobacco. But one night, Spirit got a hold of him, and he seen that it had a hold of him. And he was trying to get out of the place, and he went to the back door, and there were so many people sitting inside that he couldn't get out. Had chairs piled up against the door. So there was a big old heating stove, one of them old big jumbo stoves, and it was in the middle of the floor coming up the aisle, right in front of the pulpit, and he come up by that heating stove, and when he got there, he had his plug of tobacco in his pocket, and he opened that lid there in front, that old neck of it there, and throwed that plug of tobacco down there, and then this fell over in the floor. Balls, balls. Nobody told him to get rid of that. It must have been the Spirit. It must have been the Holy Ghost. He got up from there, and he said, "Thank God. Thank God. I'm rid of that." He said, "I've hung on to that, and I've hated every preacher that come in and even mention it." And said, "For sometimes they wouldn't even mention it, and I think they're going to mention it." Get me all tore up and disturbed. And he said, "I haven't," but he said, "I'm able to get something out of the service now." He got in. I'll tell you, he became a worshiper. I'll tell you, a lot of folks, if they just get in, they can become a worshiper. Somebody said, "You're preaching a long message here tonight to us few. You're just as important as if there's 500 here. Don't think it's bad I'm preaching this. I'm preaching this because I think you're important." Listen to what it says. "And the people with one accord gave heed to the things which Philip spake, and hearing and seeing the miracles which he did, for unclean spirits crying with a loud voice came out of many that were possessed with them, and many taken with the palsies and that were lame were healed, and great joy was in that city." There's a great commission in the Bible. And it's the one I like this best. There's Matthew chapter 28 and Mark chapter 16. But I'm going to read you Mark 16, verse 15. And it's the Great Commission to go and preach, take the gospel. You know, I could never reach everybody in Washington and Jefferson County. But I'm going to tell you, if we had enough congregations to go out, you can reach them. How many knows it's our job, everybody else's job, to get somebody to come to church, to witness to them? You'll be witness. Acts chapter 1, verse 8, "You shall receive power after the Holy Ghost has come upon you, and you shall be witnesses unto me, both in Jerusalem, Judea, and Samaria, and to the uttermost part of the earth." And I believe that Sullivan is in the uttermost part of the earth, don't you? That's what I tell them down Donovan. And they say, "Oh, yeah, it's in the earth." Listen, verse 15. "And he said, Go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature." Don't leave nobody out. Don't skip nobody. You know, some preachers, if they haven't got money, they don't have nothing to do with them. But I beg your pardon, we need to preach to the poor. Isaiah 61 said, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me because he has anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor, to bind up the brokenhearted." The poor. I don't care whether you got money in your pocket or not. I want to preach to you. I want you to get something from God. And it says, "He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved, and he that believeth not shall be damned. And these signs shall follow them that believe. In my name shall they cast..." Now, I want you to get this. Let's go back here. Verse 17. I want you to get this now. Are you a believer? Verse 17 said, "And these signs shall follow them that believe." Not just the preacher. "Them that believe. In my name shall they cast out devils. They shall speak with new tongues. They shall take up serpents. If they drink any deadly thing, it shall not hurt them. They shall lay hands on the sick, and they shall recover." Now, who is that? That's the believer. Thou canst believe. We find in St. John's Gospel, chapter 7, verse 38, "He that believeth on me, as the Scripture hath said, out of his belly shall flow rivers of living water. This spake he of the Spirit, that they that believe on him should receive. For the Holy Ghost was not yet given, because Jesus was not yet glorified." Now, who is he talking to? Them that believe. Them that believe. We must be a believer. Do you believe in miracles? Do you believe in healing? Do you believe in the power of God? Do you believe in the Word of God? Do you have faith by coming from the Word of God? Are you a believer? "He that believeth on me, as the Scripture has said, out of his belly shall flow rivers of living water." Philip had a great revival down in Samaria while persecution was, and saints were being killed in Jerusalem by the scorn. And the man that having them killed was Saul of Tarsus, which wound up being Paul, the great preacher when he got saved, on the road to Damascus, persecute the Christian, voice and a light shone bright, and he fell from his beast. And this voice said, "Why persecutest thou me?" And why persecute me? Yes, God has got a job for everybody sitting right here in this building. Just think how good you would feel if you worked on somebody till you got them to come to church and they got gloriously saved. You could say, "I won that person on by my conversation. I talked about the Lord in front of them. I told them about Jesus. I got them to come to church. I was an instrument to bring them to God." And better yet, wouldn't it be a wonderful thing if you just lay hands on somebody, God would instantly heal? That's for the church now. That's not just for me. It's for me. I can do that. Do it all the time. But it's also for the church. Not just me. Not just the preacher. This is a great work that we've got. This is not a place where we come and play games and with God and all these kind of things. This is something that's serious. It's sincere. Who knows how many young people. It's like Cody here. I've always had a burden here for Cody. I think if he'll just stay in the base some way or other, I think God's got something for you, Cody. I think more than playing the bass as well as you like to play, more than playing rhythm, more. God's got it. I wish that when I was his age, I would have turned over to God my life instead of going on years and years before I did. It would have saved me a many heartaches. But nevertheless, those heartaches are behind me now, and I have the joy of the Lord. And Nehemiah 8:10 said, "The joy of the Lord is your strength." As they sang a song,